Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Carburetor Bowl here at Tappert Stadium on the grounds of Car Talk Plaza.
We know it's a little late for another bowl game, but we didn't want to compete with all those other games around New Year's Day. So we thought we'd schedule the Carburetor Bowl for like a little week or two later. What the heck?
By the way, you may have noticed that all the major college bowl games now have corporate sponsors, yeah, like the Blockbuster Bowl, the John Hancock Bowl, the USF&G Sugar Bowl. And we're not ready to announce anything yet, but Berman's been talking to a few of the big major household chemical manufacturers about sponsoring the Car Talk Carburetor Bowl. Yeah. We can't quite tell you who the company is, but it would require us to change the name to the Tidy Bowl.
Doggy.
Hey, we'll do anything for a buck.
Want me to read some mail?
Yeah, in fact, actually, we have one important piece of...
I have to say, this is a very impressive batch of mail that I've gotten this week. We've got, you know, it's all addressed to both of us. Just because you choose never to look at it doesn't mean that you're not implicated.
I read that letter. I read the good ones. I've read all three good ones that you've gotten.
This is great. Dear Click and Clack, mighty fine and a big Western howdy.
Yahoo!
Yahoo! On a recent show, in the midst of some sage maintenance advice, one of you observed...
That mustn't have been a recent show.
No. One of you observed, apropos of the caller's vocation, any idiot can play the bass. I admit that it was I who said, and I can't remember the context, but...
No, I thought it was I who said, referring to you, because you play the bass.
Well,
I have inside information. I have the inside track.
Yeah,
I know.
It's true. Any idiot can play the bass. I have pondered this comment for weeks. Should I mention who this,
yes,
this is? I should mention who it is. It is signed Too Slim.
T-O-O. T-O-O. Not T-W-O.
No. And people may know who he is because this group is on various public radio stations.
Yeah, the group is Riders in the Sky.
Riders in the
Our
Sky.
Our heroes. Ranger Doug, the hero of American youth.
That's right. In fact, and this
Too
is Too
Slim,
who what? Plays the bass for Riders in the Sky.
And who else? Woody Paul, the king of the country fiddlers.
Yeah, not to mention our pal Ranger Doug. Anyway, he says, I pondered this comment for weeks. Finally, I asked my partner, Ranger Doug. Is it true, Ranger Doug? Is it true? Can any idiot play the bass? He smiled and put a well-meaning hand on my shoulder.
Now, you have to read it with the right voice.
You can just see him doing that, can't you?
Can I read that part?
Sure.
No, my little bee-speckled, bass-thumping buckaroo. A normal idiot wouldn't wrestle an ungainly, huge instrument through life, banging into doorways, squeezing into tiny airplane seats, settling for a practical caravan when a Jag is more his style. No, Click and Clack are wrong. It takes a very special idiot to play the bass.
And so it does. The good news is, bass players work. They always work. In fact, I'll bet the bunghouse that when fossil fuels are only dim memories and radio mechanics are wandering the empty streets, wondering what to do with their expertise in dinosaur technologies, special idiots like me will be propping up some band somewhere, providing a satisfying beat and a melodic counterpoint in return for sacks of potatoes or small farm animals. But don't worry, I'll share with you. After all, as Ranger Doug says, it's the cowboy way.
It is indeed.
I remain your humble servant and fan, Too Slim. Well, I suppose they're all correct. And whoever said, who did say that?
Did any idiot play the bass?
Any idiot can play the bass? Well, whoever it was, we both stand corrected, I suppose.
It does take a special idiot.
It does take a special kind of idiot. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Liz in Boxborough, Massachusetts?
Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Where is Boxborough?
It's next to Acton, next to Concord.
My only recollection of Boxborough,
yeah,
is going to the Sheraton Boxborough. Everyone lives near that,
it's
right?
Everybody lives near that who lives in Boxborough, only
right.
It's not the Sheraton anymore.
And it isn't?
No.
That's why I couldn't find it the last time. What is it?
The Host Hotel.
Oh, that's a crummy name. Well, I went there for the Woodworkers Show.
The Woodworkers Show, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I couldn't get a parking space, so I left. Anyway, what's up, Liz?
I drive a 1990 Mitsubishi Galant.
Yeah.
I've taken it into the shop twice for this problem, and they both tell me everything's fine. But it's not.
And they're calling you a liar, basically. And a sleaze and possibly schizophrenic and manic depressive.
After the second time, I was beginning to think that.
Right.
When you put the car in drive to go in the morning, nothing happens. Oh. It just pauses, and it won't engage in the gear. It's automatic.
Yeah.
And it's in drive, but it won't go.
Now, on what basis do they say that nothing's wrong?
Well, I suspected it was a transmission problem, of course.
Yeah.
And the first place simply said the transmission checks out beautifully. We added some fluid, and there's really nothing wrong. You shouldn't have any trouble. But I still did.
Now,
but,
when it did this, when you put it in drive and it didn't go,
yes.
What did you do?
There's nothing you can do.
Well, yes, there is.
A little bit gently.
Did you floor the gas pedal?
I didn't floor it, no.
Oh, you should have.
No, because I've learned, it's been doing it so long, if it suddenly engages in drive while you have the gas pedal down...
It takes off.
It drops into gear with a horrible thunk.
Yeah, that's why I think you should floor it, so the pieces will fly off, the transmission will remain in your driveway as the car lurches ahead, and then it'll be obvious to even the most casual observer that something's broken.
It's obvious to me.
Well, did they ever... They simply didn't experience the problem because you drove the car there and it was perfect.
Well, no. The first place I took it to was not a dealer. It was just the place where I bought it who had a shop.
Yeah.
The second time I took it to a dealer thinking they'll know more about it.
Oh, so you bought it used?
I had 500 miles on it when I bought it. It was practically new.
Oh, no, it wasn't. This was a classic case of an abused car.
Well, they called it a voluntary repossession.
Voluntary like the guy brought it in?
I can gave himself
this,
up.
I can see this now. I know I can't make the payment, so I'm going to turn it in early. This sounds like the biggest bunch of bull. Voluntary repo.
Anyway.
How many miles on it, Liz?
48,000 now.
It doesn't matter. You have to go back to the dealer.
Yeah.
And you have to leave it with them overnight.
I mean, do you think you are covered by some kind of warranty?
They suggested that I was, but after I left it with them the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not take more than an hour for it to create the problem again after cooling off.
But it doesn't necessarily do it every day.
Yes, it does.
Oh, then
it does
it every time.
It's simple. Here's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. When you left it there for the day, did they claim that it never did it?
They claimed they couldn't recreate the problem.
You know why?
I don't think they ever moved the
they
car.
They didn't drive it.
Yeah.
You
I don't
have
think
to,
they ever did anything.
Here's what you do.
Pardon?
You leave the car in their lot.
Yeah.
You take the key home.
Yeah.
The next morning, have someone drive you to the lot.
Right.
You take the service manager. You open the door for him. You say,
okay.
Here, Horace, sit in the front seat. You get in the driver's seat, and you drive the car and let it do for you and him what it does for you.
Okay.
And then he'll say, your transmission needs to be rebuilt. And
we'll do it
Mitsubishi
for nothing.
Mitsubishi will
you
take care of it.
It needs to be rebuilt? It seems serious.
Well, I don't know.
Well, there's something wrong with the transmission, and as they tell you from all the transmission ads, there's no way to know what it is until we take it apart, which costs $200.
I mean, you may have a sticky valve in the valve board. I don't know. You know, it could be something simple. I would imagine the first thing I would do if I were there is I would change the fluid in the filter.
I think they did that at the first place.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they did.
Good. That means it's something more serious.
It means you need a transmission rebuild.
Yeah.
Good luck with your transmission, and thanks for your call, Liz.
Insist that they fix it, and don't take no for an answer, and don't give them a dime.
Absolutely.
Good for you, Liz.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, Click and Clack.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, this is Bear from St. Louis.
Bear?
Bear. This is the Big Bear.
As in B-E-A-R?
Yeah, well, see, that's my adopted nickname. My actual born name is Barry.
Barry.
But Barry. You know, all my real friends call me Bear.
All right, so what's the problem? What do you want to talk about?
Okay, I've got an 86 Cavalier.
Yes.
And this problem developed about a year and a half ago. What I thought was my gas pedal sticking. See, I have to really tromp on my gas pedal to get it to break loose. And I went to three different gas stations, and I asked the guys, hey, could you grease up my gas pedal? Because I thought it was a sticky gas pedal.
So yeah. They put grease all over the rubber on the gas pedal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah?
Exactly. So they greased up the shaft. You know, you would think that at least one of those mechanics would have enough sense to know that this was not the problem, right?
Yeah, so they greased it, and... It still sticks.
Exactly.
It just sticks at the very beginning, huh?
Right.
And then boom, and you're doing 80.
Exactly.
Oh, Cavalier, 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those little four-cylinders.
This is a four-cylinder. This has throttle body fuel injection. Is that correct?
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. It's fuel injection.
It's fuel injected. And what's happening And the reason it's sticking is there's nothing wrong with the gas pedal.
No.
There's nothing wrong with the cable. What's wrong is that the throttle plate is sticking in the throttle body. The throttle plate is made out of a piece of steel or some other material like that. And the throttle body is made out of aluminum. And what's happened is over the years, a lot of years that you've had this thing,
no.
close on to 7 years.
Yeah, I've had it for about two.
Well, someone's had it. Someone's abused it for 5 years before that. Yeah. That throttle plate has dug a groove into the throttle body. So that when you've got your foot off the gas pedal and the throttle plate is completely closed, it jams in there. That coupled with the fact that the shaft is probably loose, so that the throttle plate is free to move around. And then what you do is you step in the pedal, step in it, and you're trying to move that plate until finally you overcome the force that the plate is getting exerted on it by the stickiness of the throttle body, and the thing springs loose and you're off. What you need to have done is to have somebody... either turn the screw to crack that throttle open just a hair.
So that it never closes down tightly enough to get wedged in the little slot that it has built for itself.
Oh. Either that or you need to replace the throttle body.
Oh, see, that's bad news.
Well, that isn't expensive. You can probably go to the junkyard and buy
one. It's a hunk of iron. It's very cheap.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. It's not very... If you had to buy a new one, it's several hundred dollars.
Yeah.
But if you want to buy a used one, you can probably buy one for $50.
And they'll all have this little groove in them, so that will be for a lot
of fun. You can test them before you buy them, but that's what it is. Uh-huh. If you can get your mechanic to turn that little screw, which is hard to turn, he might be able to crack that open just enough to solve the problem.
Uh-huh.
And if he can't, then you've got to replace the throttle body.
Okay, and is that, now if I have to replace the throttle body, is that a fairly easy job?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, it's easy. You can do something within the grasp. We let my brother do that all the time when he comes in. Under the grasp of any idiot.
Wait, you let him do anything?
Any idiot can do this.
Not much.
It's like playing the bass.
thanks for your call, Bear.
Thanks a lot.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, we've got more calls in the Puzzler Answer coming up right after this. This message comes from NPR sponsor eBay Motors. If you're like most people, there's been a time where you had to stop working on your car because you didn't have the right parts. But eBay Motors thinks the only thing that should slow your car down is the brakes, or maybe friction, but not a lack of parts. That's why eBay Motors has all the right parts at the right prices. In fact, they have 122 million parts all at your disposal. That way, you can keep your project moving and your car not just running, but running in style. ebaymotors.com. Let's ride.
All right, I noticed that one of your New Year's resolutions was not to try to remember each week's Puzzler.
I gave up.
I think that's good.
Why should I embarrass myself week after week? In fact, it should have been your New Year's resolution to not ask me and publicly embarrass me over the airwaves week after week. Do you remember this week's puzzle? Well, you know I'm going to say no. And everyone's going to say, what a dummy he is. My God, you'd think you have a little more consideration for a guy.
Well, psychologists do warn against setting unrealistic goals for yourself.
That's right, they do.
You know, mm-hmm. But I think that you when you're upset about something, you shouldn't hold it in like that. I mean, you should really just speak your mind and just let it go.
That's my New Year's resolution.
As soon as I
read all the Cliff's notes.
Anyway, here's last week's puzzle. It was our special 12 and under puzzle.
I remembered that. Because it was 2 weeks. See, the 2 weeks gives me a chance. Let's run all the puzzlers for 2 weeks from
now. I have to thank my son Andrew for this puzzler.
Yeah, this was a good one.
Yeah, I thought it was befitting of 12 and under. It took Dougie 2.5 weeks to get it, so that was the test.
Yeah.
And I think we stipulated that anyone who acted like he or she was 12 or under could participate.
Or had an IQ of 12.
Right. Here it is. What is it that you can put in a barrel, and it's something you can see, that makes it lighter, i.e., weigh less? What is it that you can see that you can put in a barrel?
And it will make the barrel lighter.
Yeah. Now, there's going to be a lot of groans.
Are we finally going to give the answer? I mean, this is it, right?
Yeah, there are going to be a few groans.
Yes,
let's do a few practice groans.
Oh, is that it? Oh, come on.
Those good?
Yeah, it'll be like that. We can hear. Too bad we can't hear everybody else. Huh?
Yeah, we do. It's called letters.
Oh.
The answer is you put a hole in the barrel. It's
you
something you can see.
You drill a hole in it. Right. Well, some people might argue that you can't actually see the hole.
Sure you can. You
can't see a hole. There's nothing there. Can you see the hole in a donut? What you can see is the donut. But you can't see the hole.
Yeah, that's,
in fact,
well, that's
I would
a
argue,
deep philosophical question, isn't it?
If the donut weren't there, would the hole be there? No.
Well, you don't know.
Well, you don't know, do you?
Maybe it's the donut you can't see.
This is an interesting
question. Do we have a winner?
Yes, we do have a winner. The winner is Megan Saunders, age 8. An 8-year-old kid got this right? That's great.
Shit out from Doug.
She's from Charlottesville, Virginia, and when she sent in her answer, she even spelled Charlottesville correctly. What a woman she's going to grow up to be, huh?
Yes.
And because Megan's was the correct answer that we selected at random this week, she will get both a... Is this a new policy? Both a Car Talk t-shirt, size S for squirt, and an autographed copy of our book, Car Talk. Normally, we would just send a t-shirt, but we think kids ought to be encouraged to read, even if it's garbage like the stuff we write.
Congratulations, Megan, and thanks to everyone who sent in an answer. And by the way, parents, we hope that kept the little animals out of your hair for at least a few minutes during Christmas vacation. Anyway, we have a new puzzle coming up in the second half of today's Car Talk, so stay tuned. In the meantime, we'll take a call. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Dave Sheff from East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
What's up?
East Rutherford.
What?
Is it, you said East Rutherford?
Yeah.
Is there a West Rutherford?
No, East Rutherford lies just slightly south of Rutherford.
But yeah, just like in Boston. East Boston is slightly north of Boston.
Right.
Well, that's
okay, I got it. East Rutherford. I suppose that narrows it down.
All right, so what's up, David?
Well, we're moving from New Jersey to San Francisco.
Good move.
Thank you. Yeah,
that was good thinking.
Back to
some people are dumb enough to move out of San Francisco to places like the cold, frozen north that we live in.
Well, I did that.
But
that's
you got the brains, at least, to go from the east to the west. Some people are real dumb. In any event.
Well, I was real dumb. That's why I'm going back.
That's why you're going back.
And we'll be taking, you know, Route 80 with a stop in Dubuque, Iowa, as a matter of fact. And we're going in the middle of the winter. Here's my question.
Yeah.
We're renting a 26-foot U-Haul truck. We have two choices. One choice is tow the car. The other choice is drive the car.
Yeah.
Who's going to drive the truck then? You going to tow the truck?
Well, we actually may have a... Yeah, we'll tow the truck behind the car. No, we have a friend who said he would drive the truck.
Well, there are two of you.
There are two of us, my wife and I.
Yeah, but they don't want to travel in separate vehicles. It wouldn't be any fun. They've got to chit-chat along the way.
Exactly. That's right.
Right. But you don't mind if your friend drives all by himself for 3,000 miles. The hell with him.
Exactly.
No, Dave will ride with the buddy in the truck, and his wife will drive the Hyundai all the way across. What's the car, anyway? The
car is a 1988 Pontiac Le Mans hatchback.
Oh, gee.
Oh, my God.
You see, everyone says that. Why is that car so maligned? It's a good car.
No, it isn't.
Come on.
Yes. Come on. It's a piece of junk. It's a little tin can. And I don't know why you're wasting your time taking it to California.
Because it's the only car he has. It's his pride and joy, and he loves it. And you've shot the guy down.
Well, I'm just giving
you
him a
beast.
I'm giving him a third option. Dump the car and buy one that already has passed California emissions when you get there. Unless you bought this one there.
Actually, your wife called us earlier, Dave, and we told her to dump you and the car. She's flying out.
She's flying out.
Possible.
And you can take the truck and everything in it.
Well, thanks for your help. Bye.
Well, I don't think I would want to tow a vehicle across the country.
Especially in the middle of the winter.
I wouldn't either, but I tow a Le Mans.
Right. You tow
a
Le Mans.
Another question. I think now it's in really good shape. Between oil changes, it never needs a drop of oil.
Mm-hmm.
Runs beautifully. It's a great little car. How much wear and tear can I expect driving a truck?
No. If you like this car. And
I like it.
I mean, then fine. Then I would say you could drive it. You could also, might want to consider having it shipped.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to consider...
The UPS with it.
You might want to consider getting a 40-foot truck.
I can see the guy coming to your house now.
Inside the truck.
Package fire! Yeah, second day air.
Second day air. That's right.
You can do that on a train, right?
Yeah, so under no circumstance... Yeah, you can do it on a train or you can do it by truck. Having it shipped, seriously, would probably cost, and I'm guessing, completely guessing, I have no idea. I would guess that you could do it for $500 to $750.
That's not so bad.
It's not really that bad.
You could tow it. Why wouldn't you want to tow it?
Oh, all the way across the country?
You won't even know it's back there. It could fall off in, like, Nebraska,
and
you might not notice it until you got to Colorado.
Well, the only problem is backing up.
Backing up.
You know what you do when you back up? Like when you have to, if you have to back into a parking space,
disconnect it.
You disconnect the car and you drive the car.
Yeah, but don't forget too, if you're going to tow it, you're going to have to put it in a sling.
Yeah, there's going to be a trailer.
Yeah, there's a carrier that takes the front wheels off the ground.
Right. Takes all the wheels off the ground.
Takes all the wheels. That's like a little trailer.
Yeah,
that's what he said. He's going to trailer.
Trailer.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I would do.
Assuming I have to drive the car. Is there any particular precaution I should take outside of a complete tune-up and check the hoses and belts and all that stuff?
Well, I mean, you never know when something as lousy as Le Mans is going to break down, so
I
would...
Why do you think it's such a bad car?
Wait a minute. I would rent a Hyundai and tow the Hyundai behind the Le Mans.
No, I give the guy a... If you want to use this Le Mans when you get to California, do not drive it across country. That will be the death knell for that car.
Really?
You'll kill it. How many miles do you have on it?
Like 37,000.
37?
Oh, that's why you like it so much.
Yeah.
You never drive it.
Well, actually, I bought it with only about 25 on it, in perfect shape.
Oh.
Okay. Well, if you want to drive it when you get to California, then you must tow it out there. And towing it is not a bad idea. It really isn't. There'll be few instances where you have to back up, and when you back up, you just run over what's behind you. Don't worry about it.
It's not just a matter of backing up, though. It's just parking the thing.
You're not going to park.
What, are you going to drive nonstop across the entire country? You have to stop. You never know when you're going to want to have lunch or something. You have to stop, and
you know when you pull into those rest areas, or not rest areas, the restaurants along the highway?
Yeah.
There's a sign that says autos this way and trucks that way.
Yeah.
Instead of going one way, you're going to go the other. That's going to go with the big trucks. You're going to rub elbows.
With them guys who drive those big tractor-trailers.
That's right. So, and you get a little discount at the hotel.
My recommendation is... Get a good radio so you can listen to country music all the way across the country and drive this thing like the guys that drive the big rigs. Put the whatever this thing Le Mans is on the back. Put on your 10-gallon hat and go for it.
I would agree with that if you weren't planning to get off the highway. If you're really planning to just go all the way across without really stopping to see wonderful places like
Dubuque,
Iowa.
You're not going to stop and see anything. You're just going to drive, right?
An opportunity to see the entire country, and you're going to just see Highway 80 all the way across?
The whole country's going to be blanketed in snow on the return trip.
It's up to you, Dave.
When you move back.
If you decide to stay on the highways, then I don't disagree. But if you decide you want to stop in all the little towns, I'd say spend the $500 and ship this piece of junk across the country.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Have a good trip, Dave.
Have a good trip, and thanks for being so smart and moving to San Francisco.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back with more calls and the new puzzler after these messages. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to answer your questions about cars, number one.
Yeah.
Car repair.
Yeah.
And why windshield washer fluid is always blue.
Actually, we don't have to simply, I think I mentioned this before, people don't just have to ask us questions. We could discuss issues, like other talk
shows.
Oh, those
people could call up and make a statement.
Yeah, make a statement.
And we could rebut.
Say, I wanted to talk about, you know, like sweeping generality. Who are the worst drivers in the world? Maybe Kate Wilson will call us. Is that her name? Kate Wilson is in deep doo-doo.
Something like
that. Or maybe her father could call us and just talk about things.
Oh, so you just want to have, like, general chit-chat.
Well, why does it always have to be a question?
Well, because...
Who are we? Oracles? Well, Delphi?
No, I think people feel that they're getting something for nothing when they call up and get an answer.
When they get a wrong answer?
Well, they're getting nothing for nothing.
You're right.
Anyway,
people don't want to just have scintillating conversation with us? Did I interrupt you?
No. No, I guess they don't want to have scintillating conversation with us. I have a new puzzler.
Is it time for that?
Yes, it's time for that. This is an automotive puzzler. We've had a rash, actually, of non-automotive puzzlers, so I thought it was time we did a genuine automotive puzzler.
Yeah, sure.
And I was reminded of this puzzler during our most recent snowstorm. We had a snowstorm a few weeks ago.
And you got a sharp blow on the side of the head, and this puzzler just popped into your brain.
I hit my head. And
on the windshield?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember many years ago, a customer had tuned up his... Actually, I didn't see the fellow, but the wife came in with the car. She said, my husband decided to tune up the family car. It was like a 1980...
Volvo station wagon.
Could have been.
Yeah.
It could have been
a Volvo. I remember. It was blue. I was there.
Could have been a Volvo station wagon, but I think it was some General Motors. It was some kind of a
regular
old car.
Vista Cruiser.
Yeah. It's an ROC, a regular old car.
Regular old car, right.
And
Korea.
She said, ever since he tuned it up, the car is terrible in the snow.
Ooh.
And she said, yeah, I want you to check my snow tires. She said, he must have done something. Maybe he put too much air in my tires or something, or there's too little air, but I can no longer drive my car in the snow. Not only does it not go well when I take off in the snow, mm-hmm. but I cannot stop it in the snow.
Yeah.
What's going on here? What did he do to my car?
How do I know?
Well, anyway, if you think you know the answer to this puzzle or you want to just take a guess, send your answer on the back of a $20 bill to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square.
Cambridge?
Our fair city.
I got him!
Ma, 02238.
Could you repeat that address?
No. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287 or 617-353-6350 if you're calling from the local area. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Patrice.
Patrice. Yeah, where are you from?
I'm from Santa Monica, California.
Santa Monica, home of the boulevard.
That's right.
And the pier.
That's right.
What more could any town need, huh?
Anyway, Patrice,
what's up?
I have a 1987 Honda Accord LXI hatchback.
Mm.
And the car has been so good to us. We bought it new in 87.
What, does it serve you breakfast in bed on Sunday mornings and stuff like that? What a deal.
The only thing it doesn't do, unfortunately. Anyway, recently what started happening was every time I would turn the engine off after driving for 20 minutes or longer, the fan that cools the engine remains on. Mm. And it remains on until it wears the battery down.
Really?
Oh.
The only,
you mean it remains on for hours?
Well, it remains on for a couple of hours until the battery actually wears down, and then the car needs a jump start.
But this wouldn't happen if the fan happened to be off when you turn the key off. In other words, the fan doesn't come on coincident with your turning the key off,
no,
does it?
No.
It's already on.
It after about 3-4 minutes, the fan goes on.
Right.
And then it doesn't go off unless, this is a key point, I think.
Yes, it might be.
Unless I wait about 5 minutes for the engine to cool, I don't turn the car on, but I just click the ignition and then turn it off again, and the fan goes off.
Mm.
Do you understand that?
Yeah. No, but that's good enough. We don't have to. Yes, I know. You're turning the key
to the car on. I just have to
turn the key to the on position.
I do understand what you're doing. I'm not sure I understand why it works.
I don't understand why it works.
Well, but I have a vague idea.
I'll tell you.
I have ideas about everything.
You do have vague ideas about almost everything.
I do.
Patrice, what's happening is that the relay for the fan is sticking.
Right.
You have somewhere a fan relay.
Well, I have to say, before you finish, the relay was replaced, because that's what we were told by the Honda dealer.
Yeah.
And the relay was replaced, but the problem didn't go away.
All right, I have a backup solution. I always do. The fan switch itself.
No, because, and I want to ask you about this, they said the fan switch is so difficult to get to that it would cost a lot of money to get in there and to replace it. Is that true?
No. I don't believe so. The fan switch is in one of two places. Either it's on the back side of the block, or it's in the radiator. And I don't remember where it is on a 87 LXI, but it's not that inaccessible.
Okay. Is it an expensive part to replace, do you know?
No, I don't believe it's just that expensive either.
Okay.
And that's why they replaced the relay, because the other part was too hard to do?
Well, that's what they told us, that they couldn't even figure out what the problem was at all.
This is the dealer?
We suggested to them to replace the fan switch.
Good for you.
Because that seemed like the obvious thing to us. But
the relay is the more likely of the two.
It is, okay.
And so I think they were right to replace the relay, because relays stick.
All right.
Yeah, well, my guess is if they didn't know enough to even know that much.
Well, maybe they didn't, unfortunately. And then we ended up bringing it to an independent Honda dealer who also said that he didn't quite know what the problem was, but it seems like it would be an expensive, whatever the solution would be expensive. So what he did is just disconnected the relay altogether, which he said would just solve the problem immediately.
I guess we must be misunderstanding something here. This sounds like the most trivial of all possible problems.
This isn't exactly rocket science.
No, that's what I thought.
If they, obviously this thing happens all the time.
Yes.
So they can reproduce this at will.
Well, the Honda dealer told us they could not reproduce the problem.
Well, if they kept your car for 20 minutes, maybe they couldn't. But if they kept it for a day or two.
Right.
And you could live without the car for a day or two.
Oh, yeah.
Take it to some other guy and tell them you want it fixed. When they when they get it to turn on, they've got to begin to unplug things. And when they unplug the fan switch, for example, they might figure out that that's the culprit, especially if the fan stops.
Right.
Good luck, Patrice. Let us know if you find anything out.
All right. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Well, you've squandered another hour listening to Car Talk. It seemed like three, but it was only one.
Our
producer, who's actually here this week, is Doug Berman. Is that what he looks like, huh?
He's worse than I imagined.
Our associate producer and dean of the College of Automusicology is Ken Babyface Rogers. Our assistant producer and engineer is Jennifer Jiffy Loeb. Our technical advisor, the man who hasn't missed a free lunch in 20 years, is John Lawler.
Which John Lawler? Which John Lawler is that?
It's, John Lawler.
It is such a common name.
Not really. Not when you add all the other little names.
Are you referring to John Sweet Cheeks?
Yes. He's been known. Yes, yeah. He has assumed that moniker.
Bugsy? John Bugsy Sweet Cheeks? Yeah. Is it John Bugsy Sweet Cheeks Sebastian?
Yes.
John Bugsy Sweet Cheeks Sebastian, Mr. Height? Have I left anything out?
That is he.
John Bugsy Sweet Cheeks Sebastian, Mr. Height, free lunch Lawler.
No, I don't.
That's his brother. I don't think I forgot Sweet Cheeks, did I?
No, I don't think so. Our public opinion polling. He must hate us. Our public opinion polling is all handled by Paul Merkey of Merkey Research. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. The chairman of the Car Talk math department is Horatio Algebra.
A new man.
Yes. Yeah. The Department of Physics is headed by Victor Analysis, and our chief meteorologist, with her office high atop Puzzler Tower, is Gail Storm. Mm-hmm. Our director of long-range strategic planning is Kay Sorrell, who, by the way, is falling down on the job.
Why?
All right, we haven't got any long-range plans.
We don't, do we?
No, we don't even know what we're doing next week.
Next week?
She's out of here. Anyway, she's married to that deadbeat Frank Sorrell, doesn't help her at all. Yeah. Our staff geneticist is Dr. Gene Poole. Our transportation coordinator is Rick Shaw. And our national political correspondent covering the inauguration this month is Walter Crankcase.
Yes.
Our chief legal counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Louis Dewey. Known at the House of Blues in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother, whatever you do.
Drive like my brother.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And although Peter Pennekamp can attest to what happens to a network vice president who puts us on radio, we're going to miss you, Peter. This is NPR, National Public Radio.